You know, sadna da'ara chada, you know, kula chada, you know, machta. But what do we, just on the question where we start. The problem is I have to finish, but I have a meeting that I have to attend around 3-ish. I could probably come a couple minutes late. So do we, what's the consensus? What's the deal? Asher, what do we say? That's a question. Except that, again, if it's kula chada, you know, if it's all one topic.
I don't know, but Gemara doesn't mention that one.
They don't have that.
Except for Shoshana or Shodesh and some of the others. But
right. Well, that's the isn't that really what the Atu is? Right?
No, but I think that's not on the list.
This isn't on the list. Okay, but I'm saying that's what the Atu idea, you know, really is. Okay, we're referring to the Gemara in Zvachin on Sadi Aleph, where the Gemara says, talks about you know, Tadir and Mekudash. They talk about several of the cases where what originally seemed to be, you know, Tadir and Mekudash, you know, really, upon further reflection, is really kind of the integration, you know, of two themes, and therefore it's, you know, Tadir and Mekudash, right? Safe, Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, or, you know, Tmidim on Shabbos, and so on and so forth. Anyway, okay, that's a different topic. Okay, so what's the psak, Josh? You get the paskin. We start with Bava
Asra? I kind of deleted the fifth, like, on our way up, so I'm going to do that
here. What?
I'm going to
Okay, so Asher, you get to decide, since you formulated the...
Maybe
Bava Asra,
because the Mashem's right on
Shabbos. Okay, good. So let's start with Bava Asra, and we'll try to get to the Zeroyim, and either way, that's a great idea. I was thinking, anyways, that we should do some, you know, Shemitah topics a little bit over Shabbos, and probably they'll be connected. But I'll try to show the what I said wasn't just, you know, hubris, but true, that there is, like, in part at least, an overlap, you know, between. So let's start with some Bava Asra, at least get finished with the narrow part of what we still have left to do. So the last thing we discussed was the Sugya on Daf Lamed, Amud Aleph, and the different ways to understand the Gemara's Maskana, the way that our Rambam understands it, and there would be, you know, that one could have understood it more innocuously if you don't believe in virtual shtar. And, you know, we stand by that. That's all, I think, good. One of the things that we were elaborating about was the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. I tried to show that the alternatives that Rabbeinu Yonah puts forward here on Lamed Amud Aleph, both of them are, you know, kind of stamped with the, you know, singular, you know, imprimatur, one could say, of Rabbeinu Yonah. Meaning, one could have disagreed with what I think is the Rashbam's approach in the more, you know, ambitious, you know, way of reading that line of Gemara, where, you know, the formulation itself becomes, you know, a status unto itself. And even though the Gemara is talking about Lechumra, which is easily explained, that, you know, it could have consequences Lekula, which I think is what the Rashbam, or in some cases just not Lechumra or Lekula, just, but, you know, Nafkamino, or, you know, defining a certain perspective, the perspective of virtual shtar, which I think is what the Rashbam is doing. So, you know, to contrast that, you could have said that the Gemara is saying something very, you know, innocuous, and, you know, to ignore, you know, the formulation. And here, when I say ignore the formulation, I don't mean, like, you know, the formulation is, like, fraught and, you know, objectively compelling, you know, that it's saying, you know, something, you know, really important. What I mean is it could say that, especially if it was, you know, written in a different context. And it's very easy to ignore and just to treat it not as a formulation, but as a, you know, as part of the argument of the Gemara. The Gemara is saying, and that would have been to say, I think, and there's more than one way to say it, that, you know, again, either shtar is, you know, more effective, and therefore kol shekein, you know, when you need to support a shtar, you might need to support a chazaka, or that, you know, even if you want to connect chazaka and shtar more, without going anywhere near as far as, you know, making it into a virtual shtar like the Rashbam, what you could have said was, listen, the in the end of the day, you know, the subtext of this chazaka is, you know, that you know, is an excuse why he doesn't have a shtar, and is to treat him, you know, as if he did, you know, and therefore, you know, the need to support that shtar, you know, should attach itself. It's not just the kosher kain of the first perspective. So, the Rabbeinu Yonah, who is avoiding the Rashbam, certainly and clearly, you know, doesn't, you know, go for either of those easy explanations either. Instead, he has this, you know, interesting, he ad kadei kach, that he asked the question to begin with, you know, who says that shtar is a good paradigm for cheskes gimel shanim? In other words, let's consider the possibility that when it comes to this particular application, cheskes gimel shanim, you know, is more formidable than a shtar she'eino mekuyam. Once you've asked that question, I'm just repeating so far what we said previously. I'm just trying to get to make one quick point. Once you even ask that question, you know, you see that you're going in a different, you know, direction. If the answer to that question is, you know, either, well, you know, again, that says the question says something about shtar sheino mekuyam, and it definitely says something about a murky, you know, chazaka. But in the end of the day, you know, the answer, the first answer that the Rabbeinu Yonah gives, the language of it also basically says, well, a shtar she'ena mekuyam, you know, far from being a chaspa bialma, right, based on the doraisa, of course, of inimitsuma shar naskim shekhar usum ebezin. And by the way, this question, of course, is a, as I said, something we'll have to talk more about next year, but as you can imagine, is a huge, you know, theme and debate, you know, in Rishonim and Achronim, namely, you know, Eidem Aksum HaShem Naskim Yishnech Rayus and Bebezin on a Doraisa level, but the need for Kiyum on a Darabanan level, you know, what does, where does that leave you? In other words, from the extreme of saying, you know, that the Doraisa is really mostly what counts, and that the Kiyum is just like, you know, again, a kind of Lahafiz Daito, it's kind of an, you know, added Chumrah, and we treat it that way, you know, but the Doraisa, you know, dominates, even with the Drabbanan, or even after the Drabbanan, or is it the opposite? You know, that once the Drabbanan required Kiyum, you know, do we look at the Shtar, on a Drabbanan level at least, you know, as Kaspa, you know, Bialma? And of course, you know, with you know, gray areas, you know, in between. Anyway, so Rabbeinu Yonah's Chiddush is that a Shtar, She'enu Mekuyam, is not, you know, is not a chaspa bialma le'inyan, at least what it lends to some sort of chazaka, you know, even if it's a short chazaka, not gimel shanim, of or some sort of tfisa of the bialim. That's a, like a very, you know, it's almost like you're saying, yeah, if you want to win with the shtar, you know, then it's a chaspa bialma. But if you want to win, you know, based on the shtar with your tfisa, you know, then maybe you can make the case that a shtar with its doraisa status, you know, a mitzuraf to your, you know, metaltalin kind of equivalent tfisa type mokzakos is actually stronger than, you know, no shtar, you know, and just, you know, gimel shani. That's kind of what he says. So that's very remarkable, because typically we just don't look, we didn't need to say it any of that, as I said, although it's Novea from his question already. It's hard to know which came first. I don't really care about that. I'm looking at the holistic patterns within Rabbeinu Yonah. But in addition, we just typically don't look at a shtar, you know, as supportive of, or as the basis of, you know, mukzakos. We look at it typically like on the level of, you know, as a hilkos eidos halacha. You know, we just say, like, you know, the shtar is eidos and the shtar is not eidos. You know, what does that have to do? And that basically makes the tfisa, you know, even, you know, if there is one, you know, kind of irrelevant. Again, what would Rabbeinu Yonah say, you know, let's say there was no tfisa here at all? It wouldn't matter for most Rishonim. It probably would matter, it does matter to Rabbeinu Yonah. Anyway, that's number one. The second perspective. Also, Rabbeinu Yonah thought, again, I think for the same reason, he thought he was dealing with a formidable question, and therefore he thought he needed a formidable, you know, answer. So in the end of the day, you know, he relates it to his own strong view, you know, about Rava, Kemaisa and Basraisa, you know, that it is based on, you know, Shtika and Riot Studies, etc. But as I say, one could have rejected what I'm calling the Rajbam, you know, view of the Sugya in a much more moderate way. So I mentioned that some Rishonim do, you know, reject it in a more moderate way. Where's David? He's not here? David? No? So David pointed out, I don't think I mentioned names, but David pointed out to me after the shir that, you know, and I knew this already, I just didn't think I mentioned it, that the Rajba, for example, has the moderate formulas. Anybody have it open? The Rajba Alatar in Lamed Aleph Aleph. Yossi, you have it? No? Somebody have it? Has kind of the other formulations, which I think, again, is very interesting because throughout Cheskes Habatim in particular, throughout the Masechta, but even more, I think, Cheskes Habatim, that's just an impression. As I've said, you know, previously, you know, the Rajba is enormously influenced by Rabbeinu Yonah, which doesn't mean that he always adopts Rabbeinu Yonah's, you know, view, or very some of the acute formulations, you know, because all independent Chachmei Masora, you know, make contributions and they have their own mind, and sometimes they disagree in psak, and sometimes they, you know, moderate, and sometimes they, you know, on the contrary, take things to the next level. That's what makes it all, you know, so inspiring and so fascinating. So, but the Rajba here, you have it, Josh? Go ahead. You don't have it? I love it about Aleph. Yeah.
Lo yehe ela dinake, it's up here. I haven't seen it. Lo yehe ela dinake shtara. Perish Morizal, the Alfika Amar, Hare Mishi Ish Biyado Shtara.
First, Perish Morizal, I believe he's referring not to the Ramban, but to the, I think, but to the Rabbeinu Yonah here. Yeah, go ahead.
The footnote say that too.
Rabbeinu Yonah.
The footnote on Rabbeinu Yonah says, the Rajba brings this Rabbeinu Yonah.
Ah, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. You have the, a couple of you have the good one, the green one. Or is it green? Oh, you changed the color. All right. Try to ruin everything. Is it all one volume now also? Yeah, in Balbasra?
Yeah.
Okay, that's like against the curve. That's good. In my day, it was two volumes. Thank you, they just put it out. A while to put it out. Go ahead. So again, I think that's interesting because it's, but it isn't exactly. Go ahead.
Ain sarach lekaimo the idem avasim al shar naisik mishneh for idus on the bezdin. Rafilu kain choshu lahem safamin mishum ziyufa kol shekain ze sheein lo shar mecher ella chazaka be'alma sheish lachush ve'olav lahavi raya.
Oh. So what's clear, he is quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, but he's taking out all the rough edges, or I would add, not all the Kiddushim, which Rabbeinu Yonah put there not because he couldn't conceive of dropping it, but because, again, he's starting off with this question of, like, who says, which is a fascinating question, because, like, again, if you're dealing with linear hierarchies, you know, of course Ashtar is far superior, you know, to Cheskas, you know, Gimel Shabbos. You know, so if you need, you know, to support Ashtar, you need to support Cheskas Gimel Shabbos. You know, but the point is, you know, if you're dealing with things in a little more of a subtle, you know, and sophisticated, you know, and therefore more precise way, you know, then, you know, the next thing to think about is, number one, what about the status of Ashtar on a Drabbanan level? You know, to what extent is it Kaspa B'Alma? But even more than that is, like, you know, oh, is supporting, you know, this, the support that Ashtar under fire requires, you know, isn't necessarily identical to the support that a Chazaka under fire requires, right? Maybe, you know, maybe that you know, dynamic, you know, of what, you know, what it means to support a shtar and what it means to support a chazaka are different. And again, that itself kind of issues from this point. In other words, if you have a shtar and you think that it's, you know, midrabanan because of chasima, on a raya level, it's kind of chaspa v'alma, right? Then the absence, you know, then the need to support it is huge. You know, but if you have a chazaka which is, you know, murky, you know, so then I think it depends a lot on, you know, it could go either way. One is, oh, the only thing about a chazaka is haraz bailus, and if it's murky, there's zero haraz bailus, right? Or no, there's haraz bailus, but you're in a contest, you know, and then you're throwing around claims and counterclaims and counterclaims and claims and so on, you know. So all you need is just, you know, just a little bit, you know, you're there, you're in it, you're in the contest. Okay, anyways, so that I think, but what's fascinating here is that he's quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, but he's dropping all, because he doesn't have that perspective. Maybe not of, you know, the initial chaspa b'alma, or maybe, you know, of this dynamic. So that's one. What about the second one, Josh? Go ahead. You're going to get extra credit because you haven't seen it. On the other hand, should you get extra credit because you haven't seen the Rajba? You know, but on the other hand, like the ability to read it without seeing it, very impressive. Every once in a while, I have to encourage poor Josh. Like the guy, he gets so much.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
My time Amar Rabbanan the Talal Chazaka when the Shazel Yipasha Kishalom Nizar Bishtaro the Tefei Plashnin Lo Mizdarnish Bishtar. Bo Yehi Ela the Nakat Shtara the Hashka Lo Pasha Beklum the Shtaro Biyado.
Now again, the Lo Pasha part, of course, is from Rabbeinu Yonah. Go ahead.
Afilo Hafi Amrinam Le Kain Sharcha the Chayishinon the Ziyufa Kol Shekain the Chazaka.
Okay, so again, this is exactly what I was talking about, and again, I like it that it's the Rajba, you know, because of that, you know, relationship. I'm guessing, and again, I could be totally wrong, could be totally presumptuous, that basically the Rajba read the Rabbeinu Yonah. You know, he also was like, you know, a little bit, you know, this is, I wouldn't say over the top, Khalila, but this is like very, you know, mechudash, you know, and thinking that this is like a very difficult thing to explain, and the explanations, you know, themselves are like very, you know, have chidushim in them, and saying, you know, this could easily be done in a very much more modern way. Okay, so you have the Rajban, you have Rabbeinu Yonah, both Rabbeinu Yonahs, and you have the Rajba as an example. And if you look at other Rishonim, again, you get other variations, you know, with this. One of the things that emerges from Rabbeinu Yonah, which I think is really, really interesting to think about, you know, in addition to the shtar side, but this idea of the shtar also having impact on, like, you know, a lesser tfisa, you know, and chazaka, I think is also, you know, consistent. Again, on the one hand, let's say it this way, there's a certain irony here. On the one hand, Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, is not, you know, an example of, like, you know, building up the tfisa over 3 years or anything like that. But the notion that a shtar, which is a raya, you know, and even when the shtar is a kinyan, what we care about, in the context of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, it's the raya that we care about. Even when it's a kinyan, it's probably, you know, that's Gufa Machlokas or Blaz and Rav Meir, but again, that's not for now. But the raya plays an outsized role anyway in shtar, as we know. But in the end of the day, this notion that a shtar can contribute to mukzakus in the karka is something which, you know, even though the Rabbeinu Yonah is very far from, you know, the Ramban of Holchei Yishor, what I'm saying is the Rambam in Cheskas Gimel Shanim and so on, but this notion, which the Rajba kind of drops, at least in this context, is something which supports that idea. I mean, the idea that, like, when it comes to metaltal and everything is the physical tfisa, you know, lekula and lechumra, they're, again, it's not so simple. You know, there's, you know, the immediacy of it, but there's also the strength of it, you know, or the impact on marakama of it, you know, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to karka, so you could have said, you know, that when it comes to karka, you know, the notion of Muxakos and the notion of Tfisa is completely alien and completely, the concept of Karka and its challenges or whatever it is, and the notion of any kind of Tfisa / Kazaka are mutually, exclusive. You could have said that. Or, what we have been trying to say for some of the Rishonim, and that is, no, you have to actually build it in a different way. But when you build it in a different way, you're building it based on, not so much, what's happening there physically, but kind of the association, the linkage, between this individual and the connection between this individual and the Karka. So, of course, the more he lives there and the more he acts like a Bailim as he lives there, scoring those kind of points, the idea that that's building up his kesher, it's not because it's the physical part, but the muxakos of identification, more and more. But could that be with a shtar? The answer is yes. Like, maybe the idea here is that you could never have anything that in a shtar could never enhance the tfisa of metalika, is what I'm trying to say. But the idea that a shtar could enhance, the tfisa or the muxakos of karka, is something that actually is very sensible. Yeah. You can what?
At least we got a halvon via smos. We've seen the idea of muxakos aliyah
shtar. But is that muxakos or is that just pure raya? I don't think it's muxakos.
I mean, like we said, wasn't there a day in the Bezos we saw in the Soviet Korea talks about how holding the shtar changes the muxakos so that the bottom shtar?
Right, it makes, but is that it changes his muxakos either because of shibudim, right? Or because the question of Motzi Mechaber Alav Araya then shifts to, like, are you being, maksik the shtar, are you being maksik, the ma'os? I don't think it changes the tfisa, to the tfisa's metaltalin. I think it does those other things. So I want to say, but I'm glad you asked the question, because when now we're getting closer to the drawing side, but we're not ready for it yet. But I think I guess the flip opposite of your question, but coming a little bit from the same place, is to wonder a little bit whether or not the fact that there's no, let's say, kinyan shtar b'metalfalin. Again, aside from, as you say, in cases of halva and so on, where that means, the shibudim, which are, karka or karka, esque, or it's, based on, the raya and making you the balashtar, and so on and so forth. But the idea that, again, Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about, and that's why I think it's so interesting, the shtar contributing to the muxakos. But what I'm trying to say is, it would be harder, if not impossible, to have a similar idea in metaltalin because of the role of the physical element in metaltalin. But what I'm wondering about is, does that also have anything to do with the fact that the shtar is not kone the metaltalin, and it is kone the karka, like in both directions? In other words, I think shtar has less to do with metalkalin. Even as karka, it also doesn't have the alternatives that metalkalin have. In other words, from a metalkalin point of view, right, where you can do something physical, and which reflects horos bailos and shlita and those kind of things, focused on the chefza itself, you wonder whether anything, that is like too disconnected, and of course pain for something is that too, but like a raya about it, especially when it's the kind of thing, that can be destroyed, that can be hidden, that can be, where there's no with, again, initially the ability to control it makes the physical part so compelling. I'm wondering, I'm not saying anything, you know, definitive here. Whereas Karka is all about, like, the formal connection or relationship or association, you know, that you have, you know, with the Karka. You know, and as such, just as, like, other distinctions between Karka and the Taltalin, including what we've been discussing, which is, you know, Tfisa and Chazaka, assuming there are qualitative differences in either direction. But even other things like, you know, even, let's say, Kesef, we talked about very briefly, like, earlier, you know, when we were talking the first parak still, like, made the Ha'ara, right, that in Metaltalin, if it works, it's Mos Konos. You know, and in Karka, it's a Kinyan Kesef. And then part of what that, you know, entails is that in Mos, it's at least it's likely that it's more about the value, you know. And in Kesef, it's more like a, you know, formal, symbolic, you know, Kinyan. It's the Pruta. You know, like in Hektish, which is the Makar. That's why Mos, maybe even if it works, it's Svara, or it's a Pasuk, which, you know, is descriptive of, you know, how they acquired food, you know, like quid pro, you know, quo. So things like that, you know, Mos and Kesef, or other issues, you know, Tfisa and Chazaka, or even other issues like, you know, the ability to put a price tag. You know, that could be a separate point, but like Ona Bekarkos, right? Ein Ona Bekarkos. You know, because again, it's, you know, it could seem for technical reasons, you know, everything fluctuates, there's inflation, there's, you know, and keeping your, you know, focus on the bigger picture, you know, the past, you know, the future, you know, and therefore that range, as well as, you know, what makes it priceless on the one hand, or not priceable, you know, on the other, as opposed to metaltalin, which is just like a narrower, you know, it's more about its function, you know, it has a shorter shelf life, you know, its past, you know, is limited, its future is uncertain, you know, and therefore it's need time to be priced. That could be just a technical point, like, you know, you can price this more easily than that, or you can and you can't. But I wonder whether it isn't also a bigger idea, and that is, you know, that when it comes to Karka, as I say, it's not like just how to price it, or even whether it has a price. It's just that it's a different, it's you know, it's about your relationship to the Rabbono Shel Olam's, you know, Bria, you know, in a way. And I'm not saying that that's irrelevant to Taltalin, you know, which is produced from, you know, organic materials and you know, still, you know, part of the Rabbono Shel Olam's domain for sure. But it's true in a very different, you know, kind of a way. So I just wonder whether or not Kinyan Shtar, being something that is very strongly connected with Karka, and which doesn't, striking that it doesn't have a role, you know, in Metaltalin, you know, isn't also part of this, and that Rabbi Yonah's comment that the shtar could even translate into a mukzakus, which is like a very fascinating idea. I don't think, you know, you ever need to say such a thing, but, you know, if you're going to say it, which he does, I think it's, you know, has implications. That's something to think about more seriously. Okay, having said that, good. So now let's turn our attention to the question of Habab Bishtar Ubechazaka. So you have the Gemara here on Tovia, you want to read for us? You have the Gemara here on Kuf Samech Tes. And Kufayin, and then you have some parallel Gemara in Sanhedrin. So again, I want to get to the other part, so we'll not going to do a thorough job. Maybe we'll pick this up next time we were able to go back to the Bava Basra. But, you know, certainly, as I mentioned, the Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, you know, language is a very strong basis, you know, depending on how you analyze the sugya, which you just spent time on, for virtual shtar. The sugya of Heses, of course, really, you know, captures the whole theme. But there are a couple of other sugyas as well. And one of them is certainly the language, or the potentially, at least, the discussion, the Shakla Vitarya, when it comes to, you know, this question. So, two of you, go ahead, if you don't mind. You're reading on Kuf Samach Tes now, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Habal Nidon B'Shtar B'Chazaka, go ahead, Nidon B'Shtar.
Nidon B'Shtar, Diver Rebbe, Vavishun Ben Gamriel, Omer B'Chazaka.
Yeah.
B'Maikim Yehudi.
Right, so this, I'm going to let you skip this part, because otherwise, and of course, this is a really, really important sugya. We can try to do it another time. But this this Shakla Vitarya, the Gemara, right, touches on like some of the most important, like, you know, principles in Kol Shemishpat. Osios Niknos, you know, B'Mesira, that's one possible explanation. Nimsecha Mehem Karov Apostle. Ede Mesira Karsi, Ede Chasima Karsi, you know, and Mezuyef Mitocho. Right, Moda B'Shtar Shekosfu Tzorech Rein Tzorech L'Kaimo. The whole Shakla Vitarya of the Gemara, you know, but what this might be all about, these four or five different possibilities, each one is a massive and important topic unto itself, right? But we're, you know, we don't have the... unfortunately, the luxury of analyzing this right now. So we're going to skip to, you know, to what's relevant to us, which is Elahacha. This is in the middle of Kuf Ayin Amud Aleph, right? Tuvia?
Yeah.
Elahacha Bilavara Kamifligi. Right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Elahacha Bilavara Kamifligi. He has a Yitzchak by Yosef, Abamasi Bezuzi Breviava, Asla Kamedra Yitzchak Napa, Amar.
Okay, so this is all very, very, very obscure, actually, right? I mean, what we know is the initial formulation of the Gemara, or comparison of the Gemara, is to what? What would you say, Tovia? What is Tzorech L'Varer? And again, we're going to do a quick job here, unfortunately, but... Yeah, in other words, what happens if you, in all these cases, there's one common denominator, right? And the question is whether that one common denominator is the full story, right? Or the, you know, or you have to break it down much further. Okay. The common denominator, how would you say it, Tovia, is what?
The need to back up where you claim that.
You have raised the ante, right? You've raised the stakes. In other words, in the Toin V'Nitan Shakla Vitarya, right, you made grandiose claims that were unnecessary from a legal point of view, right? And now the question is, having, you know, gone on record and, you know, insisted, you know, on these, you know, very definitive, you know, as I say, you know, excessive, you know, standards, if you want, are you held to that standard or not? Correct? So in this case, it's the problem is he said, you know, I paid, right, bifnei ploni uploni. So he doesn't need, you know, to bring ploni and ploni, right, because mavus kaver be'edim ein tzorech lefaro be'edim. You know, he could just say paraiti. He doesn't need to bring any edim. He says, I have Edim, and not only that, he says, I have these Edim. And the question is, you know, does that, you know, that's why they say, you know, don't say a word, and, you know, until your lawyer comes, you know. Maybe they have other things in mind too. But
I waited for Asher to speak up.
What's that?
That's why I waited for Asher.
I hear that. I hear that. Okay. So, having said that, having upped the stakes, as I say, and insisted that he has this overwhelming raya. So the question is he held to Tzorach Levar or Ein Tzorach Levar? And the Gemara, when it says Af Rebbe Lo Amar Levarer, Amli Ananami Levar Kamina, that very unclear, frankly. So this is one case. Let's say the guy says, I have Eidim that I paid. I have specific Eidim that I paid. Okay. Then you have the other case, which is the Gemara in, so get that on the record very quickly. What's the case in Sanhedrin? Chav Gimel, we already mentioned it. Chav Gimel Amid Beis. Right. The problem there, the sugya there, is about whether or not, how easy is it, right, to be posel Eidim or Dayanim, are trying to function in a Din Torah against you. So the Gemara there says, of course, you can't just... number one, you can't just be posel Eidim and Dayanim. There has to be a basis for it. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a case where, he's trying to connect up with somebody else to establish the psalm. And then the Gemara says, good, fine, but still, what about Nogeya Badabar? Right? We shouldn't believe him because he is affected by the result, and therefore he's not an objective, detached party. He is... he's an interested party, and therefore should be, excluded here, says the Gemara. So what does the Gemara answer there? That what? Tavya? The guy says, I have there are two kite edim. In the original Din Torah, the guy said there are two kite edim, and therefore maybe it's not nogeya bedavar because he only wants to be posel one kat. Okay, there'll still be another kat. So that, the Gemara thought originally, makes him not a nogeya. Okay, that's a tricky business, a little bit. So there are really actually two issues in that sugya, which we'll get to in just a second. One is nogeya bedavar, the other is tzorach levarer. Okay, but where's the tzorach levarer there? The idea that he, just because he says, that he has two kite edim, that will support his story, right? In any on some level, right? Does he become the victim of his own? I wouldn't say hyperbole, but in some cases it's hyperbole. But his own, raised expectations. He raises expectations, and the question is that change al pidin, right? The requirements, in the case, correct? So you have a ba lidon b'shtar b'chazaka. You only need one, right? If you had the shtar, great. Chazaka also works. That's our whole parak. You have a guy who could say praticha, without edim, but he raises the expectations. And then you have another case where basically you need one kat of edim. And the guy says, I have two. And since he says two, we want to know whether or not that somehow, is binding at kedekach, that it allows for neutralizing negius, because the guy has to produce two. Otherwise what? Okay. So these are three cases, let's say. All three have in common this feature of raised expectations beyond the typical norms, right? And the extent to which that is impactful, etc. What's not clear at all, I'm speaking generally, really the right thing to do would be to be medayik in all the different shittos, is how far do you go? Now, let's say it this way. According to the Mandamar, Ein Tzorach Levarer, that's pashut, that's very easy to explain, right? In Tzorach Levarer means, okay, so he's, maybe sincerely, maybe because he's a showman, maybe because he's a liar. But either way, the Din Torah isn't about him being a liar in Mili Bialma, or it's not about, his, being over, hyperbolic. you know, these are character trait issues, or maybe in some cases he's totally admirable and, you know, something happened and he's not able to produce, you know, so it doesn't even have to be a character flaw. The point is that it's very easy to explain why, even though he, you know, raised the ante, right, that we, okay, this is, you know, thank you to Akiva, but, you know, I'm gonna take some of this too. Okay. Or you say no? Oh, this is really good. Oh, grapefruit citrus. Maybe I should save this for the Zrayim chair. Okay. So, also very good. David never be taken for granted. The idea that the normative standards, you know, apply is not a difficult concept to, you know, to you know, to defend. And, you know, as I say, you know, as long as there's no, you know, reis that's, you know, or the reis that doesn't have the power to undermine that norm, if we're talking about eidos, et cetera, then that's a very understandable shita. However, what is, you know, what is intriguing is the man damer who says tzarach levar. And here, there are a lot of details and a lot of different perspectives. But let's say, broadly speaking, how would you say it, Asher? Broadly speaking, there are two perspectives, you know, in tzarach levar. How would you say? Excellent.
Suspicious. Is it like you know, Shashaka or suspicion raised that you can't produce, you know, something that you claim to have?
Right. Either it's because of a kind of a reisa. You know, if you can't produce everything that you said, you're a gavra liar, almost like a, that would be almost like a reverse, you know, migu, in a way, you know? Like migu is, according to the Biro perspective of migu, I'm gonna win because I'm clearly an honest man and therefore you should believe me. So here I'm going to lose because, you know, I'm hoisted by my own petard in the sense that I am, you know, a dishonest man, right? The Chiddush, of course, is that, you know, you can be a dishonest man. That doesn't mean you should lose your case. It doesn't mean you're being dishonest in your case. You could be dishonest about your, you know, evidence or just overexcited, or in some cases maybe it's not even your fault, as we'll see. Okay. So is it a kind of a reisa, or the first possibility you mentioned, which is no, he's raised the standard, you know, and, you know, again, the chiddush is that raised standard is, you know, is chal, but it isn't about credibility. It's a kind of a schaivus to a higher, you know, level. You called it a little bit like a kiblo, like in other words, you can share, or like a hodas baldin according to some. Right, or a kiblolai, meaning you get to write some of the rules. So implicitly, what you said was, you know what, I'm willing to go into this din Torah, you know, requiring four aidim, or is it two kite aidim? Ah, right? Or, you know, I know that I only need a chazaka, you know, but, you know, I'm raising the ante, you know, to a shtar. Again, the Gemara had hava mina, that, you know, ba'lidon b'shtar b'chazaka would require a shtar and a chazaka. Correct? What does the Gemara say about that? Sylvia? The Gemara says, no, that far we're not going to go. What we mean is that if you claim you have a shtar, then you have to produce the, you know, then it's not enough to, you know, to produce, you know, a chazaka, you have to produce a shtar. But if you're going to produce a shtar, no one thinks you have to produce a chazaka. Why not? Tzarech levarer. So that already shows a ceiling in all of this. Because if you have a shtar, you know, so you're an evan. You know, why would you also... The chazaka doesn't really add much or do much, you know, once you have... There's no chalos, you could say. That's one way to look at it. Right? Another way to look at it would be, you know, maybe no. Maybe artificially you could, you know, raise, you know, you know, you could, you know, whether it's a skyvus and reyesa or it's a skyvus to a standard, you know, and maybe you could do that in Shtar and Chazaka, all things being equal, you know, too. However, maybe this is the first maybe echo of Chazaka b'makom Shtar Kasi. If you think that there really is a special, you know, if you really think that the idea behind Chazaka is that it produces a virtual Shtar, you know, so then saying, oh, you need the Shtar and the virtual Shtar, like, that's silly. Or the virtual Shtar is the replacement for the Shtar. So is the point, again, the Gemara's Havamina, which was that Tzorech Levarer, you know, can produce both, can produce the requirement of both, can be understood on two levels, right? One is, you know, that, again, this Reyes idea, you know, is being pushed, you know, very far. You know, if that's what it is, you're a liar, you said you have the factor X and Y, and you don't. You know, therefore your credibility is shot. You know. Or it's based on, no, the, you know, two kitei edim, you know, paraiti bifnei edim, or even bifnei, you know, ploni uploni edim. And, you know, I have a shtar, and I've also been living there for 3 years. But then you can't assume, I think it's impossible to say that Chazaka is virtual shtar, you know, and you need both. You either have to say that it's based on the reyes of being a liar, as I say, or that this really is extra birur, because these are two different things. Now, when the Gemara also says, you know, that in the end of the day you might be mechalek, even if you hold, you know, let's say we're not going that far. In other words, when the Gemara says it's maskana, which is that, you know, balidon b'shtar b'chazaka never has to produce the chazaka, he only has to produce the shtar, the maskana. Okay, so that I think is open to all interpretations. In other words, even if you were to say that, you know, chazaka and shtar are, you know, independent, you know, of each other. Right, the idea that, you know, b'mokom she'eish shtar, that the chazaka becomes irrelevant because there's just no, you know, suffix whatsoever, you know, I think is still a good argument. Or no, and what the Gemara is saying is, you know, virtual shtar, in which case it's pasha. So when the Gemara says that, you know, not only this shak, that shak levataria, in other words, if you hold tzorek levarer, will you say it when you have a shtar, do you also need a chazaka? But when the Gemara also in Sanhedrin, not here, but in Sanhedrin, says, oh, maybe you could be b'chalek between, you know, the other tzorech levarers and the tzorech levarer of shtar and chazaka, meaning, even in a case where you claim, you know, you, but in the other direction, in other words, you claim that you, you know, have a shtar in addition, you know, to Chazaka. So the Gemara then has the Havamina. I mean, who has the line there, Tovia, in Sanhedrin? That even if you hold Ein Tzorech Levarer, correct?
Yeah.
The other way. I mean, before we were talking about, if you hold Tzorech Levarer, would you ever require Chazaka in addition to Shtar? That's the discussion we just had very briefly. Correct? Now the Gemara has a line, go ahead, that if you hold Ein Tzorech Levarer, generally, go ahead. Is that right, or is that the other way? Right. In other words, if you hold generally, that what? That the other way, right? That tzorech levarer, correct? That might be by chazaka, but the chazaka mikoach shtar. So then tzorech levarer, correct. But if you hold two edim.
Yeah.
Oh. So again, this has to do with just how much, you know, whether or not Chazaka registers, you know, b'makom shtar, or it has to do with the virtuality of the shtar itself. Okay. But there's a major machlokas harishonim which tempers all of this, and that is going back to Asher's comments from before, and that's how far will you push tzarech, yeah?
Is it possible that there's just more of like a practical issue here, or the Gemara says habalidom sharecha chazaka, so maybe that actually means that he actually brought Aden and the shtar into Beis Din, so you're being somich on the Aden chazaka to begin with, which is a question of whether you also need the shtar. This might be a fetish, but I thought the way the Rambam was formulating it was like,
we'll get to the Rambam in a minute. But okay, yeah.
So, you brought everyone there, and basically everything's like, the Eidei Chazaka are invasive. So, anytime you're summoning on the start, you're also being summoned on the Eidei Chazaka at the beginning.
Why?
Because they're already invasive. So, you don't have to be Mavar or Eidim that are standing in front of you. The only question is whether you also need to keep Shtarups.
And you get that in the Rambam from?
That's how I read it. I mean, Mish, I can read it.
Yeah, sure. Which one you mean, Tzvav Aleph?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need to jump the gun either.
No, it's fine. I'm just trying to understand what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I also thought it was Meduyak in the language of the Gemara. Like,
Habalidom. Right, I think that's an interesting deal.
Like, instead of Misha Yeshlo, Shtar V'Chazaka,
or Misha Toin Sheyeshlo.
Right.
Right. But Habalidom could also, I mean, he's done, that's his Tainer.
Right. But it's still, like, we'll suggest that it
could be. Could be. I mean, I hear it. Yeah. But then the Rishonim should have made those chilukim also, or the Gemara should have weighed in on that chiluk, perhaps, you know, relative to the other Torah Levara cases, no? Here, but what do you want to say in the Rambam?
Yeah, so
I'll get to the Rambam, my point in the Rambam in a minute, but go ahead.
Okay, so the Rambam says,
so you're saying the diak is that he brought them both. I mean, he's already there in Bezin and he brought them both.
Yeah.
Now the question is about the key of Mishtar.
Exactly.
As opposed to he doesn't have Mishtar at all.
Yeah.
And the question, or he doesn't have Adam at all. Interesting.
I think it sounded like on the riff also, that he already had everything.
We'll get to the riff in a minute. I thought the point in the riff in the Rambam was more that they see Tzorach Levara as a lechatchila and not as a b'diavad.
That could be more like Cain Esh Levara Leiser
Heter. What?
Maybe that could be more like Cain Esh Levara that we have Leiser Heter, where Beis Din doesn't want to rely on a lower standard.
Right, exactly. Like you know, right. Yeah. In other words, you know, why not? You know, go for Ein Leidas HaSafek, let's say, as opposed to, you know, we're Machria, you know, like we're talking about in Tzorach Levar, Efshel Levar, Tzorach Levar, those kind of issues. Yeah, I hear that. Okay, we'll get back to in a second. So, just to get, before we get to that for a minute, there's a huge Machlopis HaRishonim, I think Asher was about to say also. The 2 days in Rashi in Sanhedrin, it's getting late. 2 days Rashi in Sanhedrin, and the Rashbam here makes reference to that as well. He quotes his, you know, his grandfather, correct? Kach Pirush Rabbeinu Zkeni, right? The Perek Zaborer. Very rare that the Rashbam does that, right? Right? Some of you are learning the Masechta, right? So he learned a lot of Rashbams this year. How often does he quote, you know, his grandfather from a different Masechta? Is there actually a number? I don't know. It's just very rare. Okay. Anyways, you have the, so he's referring to it, and then you have the discussion in Tosis as well, and other Rishonim. Right? Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, Levar Amitas Advarim, Laham Bidala Emes, right? Im Yimtsu V'yomru, Lo Ra'inu Me'olam, Mechayiv. Avlam Lo Yimtseim, Lo Avad. Like, let's say the guy says, you know, I did this b'fnei a ploni a plon, and you hold tzorach lebar, right? So says Rabbeinu Tam, all that means, I mean, lo tzrichim lahagzim here either, right? Meaning, how far do you push tzarich levar? And it goes to the core of what we were saying before. What is tzarich levar? Right? So the point is that if, for example, you say, I borrowed in front of Plony of Plony, and then you find Plony of Plony, right, and they say, lo yidvar me'olam. So then you say, forget about them. I didn't have to mention them to begin with. So thank you very much. They didn't say that the chov was not repaid. They just said that this thing that you paid it in our presence, that's not true. We want to get back to the Rashi and the Rosh and the Rashi and, Bubbetzi Yud Zayin, the stuff from Ashutfin. But they didn't say that. They just said, not true. So he said, forget about that. So can you do this? So that, if you hold Tzarech Levar, Eres Rabbeinu Tam, that's what it means. But let's say you say, I paid in front of Plony of Plony, right? And you can't find Plony of Plony. Or, for that matter, you say I paid in the presence of Edom. Let's say it wasn't Plony of Plony. And you can't bring Edom, says Rabbeinu Tam. That's not a Chisaron of Tzarech Levar. But that is not so clear. That seems to be partially, yes, Asher, the discussion of the Rashi in Sanhedrin. Like, if you say there are two Kite Edim, right, do you have to bring both Kite Edim? And, that's question number one, let's say you bring two Kite Edim, and it turns out that one of the Kite Edim, is Pasul. Especially because the people branded them psulim, and they weren't nogeya b'davar, because it's another, like, that's part of the question. Are you a nogeya b'davar? If you're the nidon and you connect with somebody else to pasul a kadav edim, right? So, now there aren't going to be two edim. There's only going to be one kadav edim. So is it a tzarech levar problem if you said there were two kite edim and one of them turns out to be pasul? Right? In which case, even if there are two kite edim, pasuling one of them is an ogeya b'davar. Right. So that's partly the two days in Rashi and Sanhedrin, where Rashi says, oh, maybe the pshat is, there are two issues. One is, when you say, I have two kite edim, right, and from Tzarech Levar point of view, we hold you to that, one issue is, do I have to bring two kite edim? No. Or is that if I do bring two Kite Edim, they both have to affirm what I'm saying? Right? That's the question. The Tzarech Levar question is, I've really heightened the standards and I have no way out of it, or it's more of a limited idea, like a Reyesa, or if the guy comes, I can't retract that part of it, if you hold Tzarech Levar. But if I can't produce him, that'll also be a problem. That's a much higher level of Tzarech Levar. Right. Similarly, I say Tzarech Levar, and therefore, according to that view in Rashi, I have to bring two Kite Edim. Right? But let's say one of them turns out to be Psulim. So maybe, and there was no way for me to know, it's not a Reyesa, but if I've heightened the standards, then I'm stuck with it. Right? I don't have two Edim that I promised. I upped the ante, I kibbalolied. So then there's two questions. Is that really true? Right? A. B. Maybe on a purely technical level, even if it's true, maybe you just have to do what you said, but we have a looser definition of what constitutes edim. Right? You did bring two. Just turns out that one of them is not kosher. So these are... Let me try to make it clear. So there are like Tzarech Levar questions. Like, how extreme is Tzarech Levar according to the Manamar Tzarech Levar? And that Gufa does connect to the question of whether it's a kind of, reverse Migu, like a Reyesa, that he's, an Isheker, that would have Nafkamina. Or you're raising standards. If you're raising standards, what does it mean to raise standards? you know, do we hold you strictly to Aedus, let's say, or just bringing the people, right, etc. Having said that, it's like the very notion, if we're trying to, like, you know, talk about, like, a better proof, etc., you know, this ends up, you know, having implications backwards to you know, Shtar v'Chazaka, obviously. Like, what did we have in mind when we were saying Tzorach L'Vav? Again, if it's all about credibility, very easy to learn the sugya. And it gets harder to say that there are any differences in either direction. But if it's about standards, right? So then, you know, again, is it a higher standard if you bring both? Or if you have chazaka and you add shtar? Right? That becomes an important question, objectively. And in terms of how chazaka maybe works as a virtual, you know, as a virtual shtar. So, for example, just to talk just briefly about, you know, the two cases. Let's say two kite eden. Is that really a step up in terms of, you know, quality? So that's an old question that we've discussed. You know, it connects with our brief discussion, you know, of Tosis on Lamed Aleph on the base, right? That we discuss, you know, we were talking about Chuvas Rabbi Kneger when we were still in the first parak, and so on. Right, the Tosis and the Ramban and Lamed Aleph on the base make the Ha'ara, you know, to answering the question, why isn't every case of every case of Hakkasha wanted to believe the second Kat, right? Migudi Bayamri, you know, Hazama, right? So, depending on the Girsa and Tosis, Lamed Aleph from the base, you know, Inami, yes, no, and the parallel Tosis in Ksubis, but also the discussion of Ramban in Ksubis, but especially the Ramban here in Bambasra, Lamed Aleph from the base. So, certainly one answer in the Rishonim is, you know, because if Trey is Kameya, you know, then Migu's not going to help you. Because when you have Trey or Trey, you know, Migu can't be Machria. Like, nothing is stronger than you know, than... Okay, oh, we thought Trey or Trey just means, you know, two things. Number one, if you have two against a million, it's a deadlock. Right? And I'll just leave it at that. But does that also mean, you know, that, you know, you can't add to two, ever? So it's just interesting to note. This is something I've noted in the past. I think I noted it then, and that's the Ramban al Torah, correct? The Ramban in Parshas Shoftim, you know, on Opishnaim or Shlosha Eidim. So he quotes Rav Sajigal. You know, says, oh, Shnayim is Edim and Shlosha is Kabbalah Seidus. And that becomes a big argument between Rav Sajigon and the Ramban regarding a very important issue, and that is, if you have a Dine Nefashos case, Api Shnayim or Shlosha Edim Yumasades, so if you have a Dine Nefashos case, can you have a Kabbalah Seidus of Gimel when you need a Bezdin of Chaf Gimel? In other words, what is the relationship between Kabbalah Seidus and the actual din? That's one issue. Can there ever be a separate chalos Kabbalah Seidus, and if so, does Kabbalah Seidus need Chav Gidla? Because one issue is, can you separate, you know, the phases in such a way, and the other is just, what do you require for Kabbalah Seidus? Is there a chalos din enefashos on the Kabbalah Seidus part, and if so, does that also require Chav Gidla? And not for now. That's a debate between Rav Sajigon and the Ramban. But the Ramban himself says, no, I don't think that's the pshat in the Pasuk. You know, but bothered Rav Sajja. What bothered Rav Sajja is, you know, the Trey is Kameya. So what do you mean, Shnayim o Shlosha? Once you have Shnayim, that's a freedom. So he's made Shnayim the Edim, and Shlosha, the Kabbalah Seidus, the best. Says the Ramban, no, Shnayim o Shlosha. Shlosha is better than Shnayim. It's always better to have three than two. So I always thought that's really quite interesting in light of the other Ramban, who basically says that Migu's never going to work in Eidus, because, you know, once you have two Adim, you've maxed out on the Raya. And, you know, it's Migu's not stronger than other Adim, and a million Adim aren't stronger than two Adim, so that's the end of the story. So how can Ramban al Torah, you know, say that Shlosha are better than Shnayim? I don't think it's a stira. I just think it's an interesting ha'ara. Meaning, I think what Ramban's saying is, this is not a practical level. Would you feel more confident if there were three than two, if there were a million, you know, rather than, you know, than three? The answer is you would. All trei kameya means is that legally, once you have a dim, you have a dus. And once you have a dus, that's the height. You know, and from a qualitative point of view, once you have a dus, nothing can undermine a dus. Right? And you look at the clash in a qualitative way. It's one kot against another kot. Or, which is one way to say it, or, you know, it's a million adim against two adim, but two adim are still an impregnable, you know, fortress of truth. Right? That doesn't mean that on a more practical level, which is a vishavadas, because again, we know that people can lie, and the Adam can lie. It's like I've said many times. Al pi din, two Adam is emes. You know, even though we know, you know, that it's only 97, you know, 0.3% true. Right, but there, it doesn't al pi din. It can't register kesus kashrus. You know, Adams. Okay, but wouldn't you like to close that gap? Maybe it's not an al pi din gap. So, from a Torah Kledvarer point of view, right? If you could have two Kite Adim, does that really add anything? A star adds significantly, you know, to Chazaka. Even if it's virtual star, frankly. Isn't a practical star better than a virtual star? I mean, it seems like it is. Chazaka doesn't add anything to a star. It's not even a chalos. It's a raya. You have better raya. You have edus, like trei kameya. What about two edim and two edim? Right? That's really interesting. By the way, let's say it wasn't two kite edim in the Tzorach Levar. Let's say it was, you know, I have three edim, not two. Right? I was once at a wedding and the chassan wanted to mechabed more people, so he wanted to have three edim. I dissuaded him. Not necessarily for these reasons, but you're looking for trouble, so I don't recommend it. But he still says Shabbat Matasa Bat Lakula, you know. So you're just asking for trouble. Anyways, the let's say the guy said I have three Adim. Right? Would that work the same as Tzorach Levar, according to the Manam and Tzorach Levar, the same way that two Kite Adim works? I'm not sure. So I think that this is a very interesting issue. Now, having said that, let's just talk about the Rambam for a minute, then I want to speak for half an hour at least about the Zeroyim, and we will, Mirat Hashem, continue over Shabbos. For those of you who can make it. Yeah, the Rambam. So, first of all, before we get to the Rambam, the Rif. There are those who understand that Tzorach Levar is really upping the ante in a very significant way. One day in Rashi, you know, what the Rabbeinu Tam is rejecting here, a bunch of other Rishonim. Or no, it's only, you know, it only means that, you know, you... Again, you're hoisted on your own petard. You said ploni uploni. So if you don't produce, the bigger chiddush is that you have to produce ploni uploni, or at least edim for pure. Let me speak for 1 minute about that. I talked about shtar and chazaka, right? I talked about tukite edim. I talked about adding, you know, numbers to one kat of edim. Let's talk about the other case in the Gemara, right? Let's say pariti bifnei edim. As opposed to, you know, Ne'eman Adam Lomar Paraiti in a Mova Alpeh. Right? Or let's say Paraiti Bifnei Edim as opposed to Paraiti Bifnei, you know, Ploni Uploni Ha'edim. I think that's also something to think about. So it's reasonable to think that paraiti bifnei, you know, shnayim edim may be a chalos. Because in the Manus Loma paraiti isn't such a... Well, it goes back again to our discussion, you know, towards the end of our time in the first parak, right? To what extent is the nemonus of paraiti b'li edim mechudash or obvious? You know, is it just motu mechmera ala varaya? Right? After all, there is a cheskas chiyuv, right? And there is a view, malba bifne edim tzorech lefaro b'edim, right? That too, by the way, that's also a kind of a related to this sugya. Like that manda amar, because what? Because you kind of committed to higher standards? The point is, treating Piron in a Milva Balpet case, like a Milva Bishtar case, or not relying or kind of foregoing, we'll call it, your right of, you know, just, you know, Motzi Mechavero Olav Araya, may very well be a real chalos. As for the question of, Yeshli Edim Sheparati Bifneim, you know, as opposed to Ploni or Ploni, right? That I think, not a different level, a different chalos level. You know, that's more maybe just like, you know, personal, you know, raising of the ante. You know, in all the absence of credibility, like if you can bring other Edim, not Ploni or Ploni, you know, would that be a problem? Okay, so just to sum up, the whole question of Tzorach Levar, Ein Tzorach Levar, is a very interesting topic. The Mandamar Ein Tzorach Levar is very understandable. I don't think it's hard to explain. Even if you were to agree that these cases are cases where there is a higher chalos standard, you know, that we acknowledge, you know, the idea that the halacha doesn't require it, and therefore your, you know, raising of expectations doesn't mandate it, is still a very understandable view. The more challenging view is Tzarech Levarer. Here, like, one issue is, like, how far do we go with Tzarech Levarer, and what is it really based on? You know, is it, you know, very expansive, you know, to the point that you really are committed? And is it very expansive also, you know, even when it applies to things that don't seem to be chaluyos? Those are two different questions, but two important questions. Or is it more limited, at least limited to chaluyos, and maybe even limited only to things like, you know, you get contradicted by your, you know, birur, you know, addition, something like that. So those are all questions. Then comes the other question, that is, oh, we have a bunch of cases in the Gemara, you know, to analyze. Piraon, right, Bifnei Edim, Adin Torah to be decided by multiple Kitei Edim, and Habalidon Bishtaru B'Chazako. In each case, there are things to discuss on the chaluyos level, we'll call it. You know, it's whether you really, whether the discrepancy between the, what the halach initially and normatively requires and the expectations that you've raised or the higher standard, like what is the relationship quantitatively and qualitatively, you know, between those things in each case. And for us, more particularly, the discussion of, you know, even if old Tzorach Levar or, you know, once you have shtar, you don't need a chazaka. Or maybe gufa, whether you hold tzorach levar or ein tzorach levar, in general, you might be mechalek because chazaka bami koach shtar. Either of those could be understood in a very pragmatic way without saying virtual shtar, for sure. At the same time, if you do believe in virtual shtar, it is a great way of accentuating or highlighting, you know, that particular idea. Okay, having said that, so let's talk about the riff for a minute. Binyamin, so you mentioned the riff. The riff here on this sugya understands Tzorach Levarer in what kind of a way? as a lechatchila. It's not so clear whether the Rif paskins, like Rebbe or Reb Shimon Gamliel, or the Tzorach Levar and Tzorach Levar. It could very well be. Some people think that he paskins like Reb Shimon Gamliel, right? That ain't Tzorach Levar. And maybe that also colors a little bit. What is it? Ayin Zayinon based on the Daper Rif?
Ayin
Ches. Ayin Ches
at the bottom.
Ayin Ches on the base of the Daper Rif? Yeah. Okay, great. Do you have it there?
Yeah.
Okay, if you could just read it quickly. Yeah. So that's an interesting thing that they argue about that, about what his psak is. Go ahead. So what does that mean?
That for Rebbe,
im iyef shelavarer kagon shemesu edav ahocha lemedina sayam nidon bechazaka.
So you can fall back.
So what? How? So it's only that if it's there, you say to him barer shtarcha. So let's say you said to him barer shtarcha kishemevi shtara omla barer shtarcha. Okay, but he has no choice, right? So if the edim were there and they said it's mezuya, that's a davar pasha, or not? I mean, the chiddush of the Rif is that tzorach levar is only lechatchila, number one, and it's a more minimum tzorach levar. Okay, so so is it just procedural? It's only lechatchila.
Meaning that, like, if someone were to be mezayif the shtar, then what would be the difference?
Let's say this shtar turned out to be mezuya.
So I mean, the Rif doesn't.
What?
The Rif doesn't.
The Rif doesn't tell us.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Rambam, and the Rambam paskins how?
Rambam.
Oh, I really have to switch. So let's go just a couple of quick horas. Tesvav Aleph. The Rambam sounds like he interprets like the Rif, correct? How does the Rambam paskin?
Should I read it?
Yeah.
Mishir al sada zu behivi edim shehi yadu alo behivi zesh besoch ashtar shalak kamimenu behivi edim.
Look, let's lichatchila. This bitchila means lichatchila, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like the Rambam paskins like Rebbe. Yeah?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so the Hagos Maimunios says that the Rambam paskins like Rav Shimon Gamliel, or he says Amar Rav Gidol Marav Alach Rav Shimon Gamliel Utalo Karebi became Pirush Rashba. That the question is, with this more tepid Tzorach Levarer, which is just a Lechatchila, which is what the Rambam requires, is that Rebbe or is that Rav Shimon Gamliel? Like, it's so tepid, it's Rav Shimon Gamliel. Like, why not? Okay, but if it's Rebbe and it's Tzorach Levarer, so hard to understand if it's only lechatchila, right? So here's where the Magid Mishnah makes a contribution. You saw it? The Magid Mishnah discusses what I raised. Here, Halacha Aleph. He assumes the Rambam paskins like Rebbe, not like the Agos Mamunios. The Zemavur b'divra beinu umichlal divrayim. Now that's important. Umichlal divrayim sheim nimsa shtar mezuyah. Harechas kaso b'teila. V'lekach anu matzrichin osa levarer. V'davar pashut hu. When a guy says mechal devrayim, and then he says what he says, and then he repeats v'davar pashut hu. You know? You know that he's a little bit self-conscious and he's worried about it. Okay. Vatam, like a third thing, the hachazaka bikoach shtara kasi. That doesn't have to mean virtual shtar, although it could mean virtual shtar. But clearly he's bothered. What do you mean, a shtar? Chazaka bikoach shtara kasi. It's this is just what Tzarek Levarim means, no? Here's chazaka mikoach shtar kaasi, you know, which is a chumrah, right? The virtual shtar, he's saying, what's he saying? Ukvar kastavti kiyotza bazeh beperek shishi. Yeah, we'll look at that in a minute. So, right, number one, it isn't so simple. But we can understand why he's saying, because if he paskins Tzarek Levar, like, where's the... Tzarek Levar just means tell him to be Mekai in the Shtar? I mean, Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to argue with that? Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't want to waste the Bezin's time to tell him to be, oh, you can be Mekai in the Shtar? Okay. Vatam, the Hachazaka Mikoch Shtar Ka'asi, is the reason, only reason that if it's Nimtza Mezuya, because Kaso is Betela. Right? So actually, this is very interesting. Look at the Rambam. Where's the other one?
Yud-Dalad
Yud-Beis.
Sorry.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. You have it, John?
I don't have it, but he's...
Kol chazaka sheinu matayin en chazaka rishacha perasad en kamashonim rubam ar v'omar lo me'ayin sada sheli. Right, he's Shibo, Amar Eni Odeh Shami, Bekivin Shalom, Amar Adam, Yaranthi Latocha, Enzu Chazaka. Alpha Bishlatoni, Matsim Yado, da da da. Hey, the Adam Taxer, or Adam Zaman. Is this the right one?
Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah, Bechena, what?
Right there,
yeah. Bechena Ochel, Shne Chazaka, Machmas Shtar, Shigesh Biyado, Venimsa Shtar, Batel, Betela HaChazaka, Betaxer Asada, Im Kolaperos Labait. Right? So what's the... that seems pretty clear what the Magen Mishnah said. Is it the same? Actually, I saw in the... on the side here, which is, you know, the Frankel excellent edition, you know, the Mekoros V'Tziyunim, I think he makes the... what is that... what is this Rambam based on? What?
Tosefta.
A Tosefta. The Tosefta says this explicitly, right? And the Magen Mishnah quotes it, right? Ha'ochel es hasada machmas ono, v'nimtzes ono psulo, ches kaso betel. So the some of the Achronim ask, how come the Magen Mishnah on Tezvav Aleph, even though he is, again, you know, I methinks he doth protest too much, but, you know, Zembevor b'divir Rabbeinu, right? You know, Umbechlal divrayim, Shim nimse shtar mezuya for eichas kasa betela, Lekach, right? V'davar pashud hu, Vatam. So, right, he just says here on the side, Ayin magen mishnah perek yedalet halacha yudbeis. Meaning, it's a tosefta. It's like, why all the... you know, why all the hisusim? But I don't think it's the same case at all. And this, I think, has a little bit to do with what you were saying, maybe, Yamin? Not exactly, but... meaning, the case of the Tosefta and the case of the Rambam is when the guy up front, right, in his Shnei Chazaka, right, tells you, you know, that he's there... the whole Chazaka experience is rooted in this shtar, which turns out to be Mezuyah. But I don't think that's what Tzorech Levarer, Abalidom B'Shtar B'Chazaka is. I think the whole point is, just like all the other cases, you know, of Tzorech Levarer, is that you have two independent ways, you know, for this Din Torah to be resolved. Right? And he ups the ante. So the case is also, he was there for Gimel Shanim. It's not like, oh, on day one, when he went to the property, he said, you see this star with the you know, with the beautiful calligraphy, you know, this is my, you know, this is my deed, and that's the, this is the reason that I am, you know, going to be darbo ked bechaski ba'ich. That's a tosefta, and that's the Rambam in Perek Yedaleh. But this is a different case. This is a little bit of a different case. This is a case where he has a chazaka, right? Misha irer behavi edim shehi adua behavi zesha betocha shtar after the whatever shalikacha mimenu, and also behavi edim shakla shnei chazaka. But he wasn't, you know, sitting there all years based on this shtar. It was probably based on the fact that there was a shtar. Yeah.
Maybe that's why this in Yudan Yudvez, it's in the halach, it's in the context of Kol Chazak Shein Makayim. I mean, that was the only thing.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to say before.
Yeah, that's the only reason why he was on the field. He only had the shtar. That was his taina.
The taina is the shtar. So if the taina is mezuyah, if there's no taina, excellent. That's a really good hara. That's very good. Right, the next one is Haba Machmas. Kol Chazaka Shein Yimataina in a Chazaka. This is his taina. His taina isn't that he bought it, and he bought it with a shtar. It's that he bought it with this shtar. This is his, and that's what it's been all along. So I think those are two different dinim. And I don't think it's so poshut what he says in the name of the Rambam, but I do think it's interesting, and I do think it might be an expression of chazaka mikoch shtar kahasi. So if you look at Vav, hey, is that the other one? Vav hey? Is that Vav hey? Is that the other one?
Yeah.
That the Magen Mishnah tells you to look at. What's that, Yonatan?
So Vav hey is basically when the Nitan says that he's Bore in front of two Edim.
Teini Manisho Visicha, right? Hare Edim. Omro HaNitan Praticha Fnei Ploni Ploni. Omrim Lolove Havei Alsam Vihi Pater. Right? Lo Bo O Shameso O Shahokal O Medina Sayam. He can't produce them. Yishava heses sheparo. She'ena nematzrichen osam lahavion el levar devarav. Uli pater af mishvua. Ah.
So it seems to imply ain't sarach levar.
Here it sounds like ain't sarach levar, really. Or it's only lishvua. She'amavus chaver be'edim ain't sarach levar be'edim kamo shebiyarna. So everybody, a lot of people are troubled. Right, it sounds like the Zeraman Paskin Sarach Levar or Ein Sarach Levar. So again, if you're like the Ghost Maimonides, and fine. But it doesn't sound that way. Certainly according to the Magen Mishnah and Tezvav Aleph, that's not the case. So does the Rambam really distinguish between Chazaka Mikoach Shtar Ka'asi and other cases of Sarach Levar? That's what would appear. Okay, so let's leave it at that for now. There's much more to discuss about virtual shtar and even about these issues. I have like 15 minutes, but I'm going to take probably more like 20. Okay. Like if I need a lot of edim, then, you know, that I was late because I'm osek mitzvah patur mitzvah. You know, plony. Hopefully everybody...
You're two of us.
What?
You probably pick two, no?
I should only pick two, you're saying.
Yeah.
Otherwise I get hoisted on my own petard.
Bullshit will storm the gate.
I think I appreciate that very much. More than you know. Okay. So, again, I'm not going to be able to complete this, but let me talk a little bit about, you know, this issue for like 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then maybe speak more about either this part or connected parts.